Welcome to the Westwood Church Podcast. I'm Molly Vetter, the senior pastor at Westwood. I'm glad you've chosen to listen in to this sermon from our sanctuary. Please know, you're always welcome to join us in person on Sunday mornings at 10. Our sanctuary is a sacred, stained glass lit space. There, prayers, pipe organ, and choir mark sacred time when we get to refocus our lives around the gift of God's radical, inclusive love. We're a church committed to justice, kindness, and walking humbly with God. So thank you for listening in today. We encourage you to share and subscribe to the podcast, and also invite you to follow us on Facebook or Instagram. Most of all, we encourage you to join us in the living out of our faith for the sake of God's love. Welcome to worship at Westwood Church. This is a strange way to do worship together, and it feels a little dislocated to not have our community gathered, but it also feels like a great privilege as pastor at this church to get to host worship for this time in a space as beautiful as this. So whenever you're watching this, if you're watching it live with us on Sunday at 10 or sometime after, I hope you'll take a deep breath and settle into this moment as an opening in time to connect with divine love, to center yourself in the grace of God, to worship with community spread out amongst all the places where this might be visible. I hope you feel welcome and at home in this virtual space. We're glad you're with us, and our worship is richer for your being a part of it. I hope you'll participate as much as you're ready and able. If you downloaded the worship guide from our website, you can follow along with the prayers. If you know the songs or the scripture, we invite you to sing along where you are. We hope that you will be with us as much as you can, that you might find encouragement and hope and inspiration in this time. We think it's so important to do whatever we can to guard the health of our community, especially for the sake of the most vulnerable. So thank you for being a part of the work of our community, of staying safer at home for the sake of the world and all others. We're gonna worship together now, and we start with our morning prayer. If you have your worship guide, I invite you to say it with me. O God, our guide and guardian, you prepare the path before us, leading us to nourishment and rest. Even in the midst of distress and fear, you sustain us with your presence and anoint us to persevere in doing your will. Direct us through our uncertainty so that we may know the blessings on the other side of doubt and follow you in the ways of goodness and mercy. We pray in the name of Christ, our Shepherd and Lord. Amen.
Present and merciful God, in this Lenten season we have stumbled into yet a new wilderness, facing visible and invisible challenges, traveling through uncharted territory. We confess that in our fear we are tempted to narrow our vision to our individual needs and desires, claiming goods and resources for ourselves that you intend we share, building our armor against one another when you call us to tend to each other's suffering, prioritizing our freedom above another's well-being in spite of your command to love our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive us our anxieties and selfish instincts that further us from the vision of your kingdom on earth, and root us to your love that binds us to your spirit and all creation. As we continue to face the unknown, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, the good news is that God has promised to be our refuge and strength, our greatest help in time of need. Though we turn away and our love fails, God's love remains steadfast. By the covenant made new in Christ, we are forgiven and restored. Thanks be to God.
Makes me lie down in green
I invite you to hear this Sabbath poem by Wendell Berry, part of our Lenten devotional. Remembering that it happened once, we cannot turn away the thought as we go out cold to our barns toward the long night's end that we ourselves are living in the world it happened in when it first happened, that we ourselves opening a stall, a latch thrown open countless times before, might find them breathing there, foreknown, the child bedded in straw, the mother kneeling over him, the husband standing in belief he can scarcely believe, in light that lights them from no source we can see, an April morning's light. The air around them joyful as a choir. We stand with one hand on the door, looking into another world that is this world. The pale daylight coming just as before. Our chores to do, the cattle all awake, our own frozen breath hanging in front of us. And we are here as we have never been before. Sighted as not before, our place holy, although we knew it not. For the inspired words of prophets and poets, thanks be to God.
Make thy way plain before my eyes.
Our scripture reading this morning comes to us from the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It feels so good to be gathered together, even in this virtual way, this Sunday. My spirit and soul have been hungry for more spaces to be still and calm, to be grounded in the gift of God's grace, to let go of anxieties and fears. So as we gather in worship today, I want to invite you to join me in taking a minute just to check in with ourselves, to notice how it is that we feel, how we've been holding our bodies, what we've been carrying heavy on our hearts and minds. I know that there are completely different experiences that each of us have. The realities of our own lives are so different in these moments, whether we're scrambling to figure out what to do with kids home from school every day, or we're trying to stay sane as we work in healthcare jobs and put in extra hours, whether we're living alone and feeling suddenly more vulnerable. It's certainly a time to lean on the gifts of our faith. So it feels like an incredible gift to the Holy Spirit that the texts assigned for this week's worship include the 23rd Psalm. And it feels like a beautiful gift of the Spirit that the hymns and music that we picked before we knew what was going to be happening in our response to this new coronavirus, that these gifts of our faith are here for us today. I have already been moved to just hear the beauty of the 23rd Psalm sung by our choir section leaders, set in this incredible setting that Bobby McFerrin composed. His choice of switching the pronouns in the name of God in honor of his mother and his daughter open up a completely new way to access this familiar text that makes it feel like it belongs in the midst of our everyday lives. I hope that you hear in the songs that we've sung today, in the words of the 23rd Psalm, a reminder that our God goes with us through this all, that even in the valley of the shadow of death, God is with us, that even in the midst of our fears and anxieties, God leads us, Pastor Darren reminded me, beside the still waters, waters that reflect the stillness of our quiet and empty streets, and allow us to perceive it not as an anxious emptiness, but as a stillness that is an opening and gift of God's Holy Spirit. I hope you feel that gift here and now and in days to come. The 23rd Psalm, every time I read it, connects with me as a different line in the text seems to jump out and speak to me a word that I need to hear. I invite you to continue to pray with it. The Wendell Berry poem that we have for today also spoke to me in a powerful way. When I first looked at our Lenten devotional and the choice of this poem for this Sunday, I have to confess that I was a little unsure that it was the right choice. It's a Christmas poem, after all, and we're in the middle of the season of Lent. But this Christmas poem struck me as an incredible and soul-touching reminder that God works with us in this world by showing up in the places where we are, in the midst of our ordinary lives. And even when we're thrown off the rhythm of what we normally do in our daily rhythms, God still shows up into this world with all of its beauty and frailty to be present in the world. This is the gift that's a part of our Christian story. We celebrate as incarnation, an affirmation of God's presence with us, a declaration that these places, this inhabitation, the houses we live in, this community we share, that this earth itself is the place where God shows up. In Jesus, God was born into the world. And still, we receive that good news as a reminder that God is present with us, really here among us in the midst of the challenge and the struggle, among us, declaring that we, that these places are holy. I think of the people who are having a very difficult time accessing the holiness of the places where we might be stuck, the people who were in grief before our staying at home to maintain safe distance from one another started, the people already burdened with worries and concerns for loved ones in fragile condition, or the people already without work or food or shelter. This new reality that we're living in now, where our government and public health officials have asked us to stay safer at home, means that even more people are away from their jobs. And I think of the precariousness of so many families in our community, the fragility of our security in terms of food and shelter. I think of the crisis of homelessness that exists in our community that predates this crisis. Those underlying challenges of our life, of our community, those don't go away because we face this new crisis together. And so we remember, we dare to remember that it's into this world with all of its present challenges that God is born, that Christ arrives, that God declares the place holy. And it asks us, it invites us to keep believing that the presence of God is here among us, not only as a comfort for us, but also to give us the courage and help us make the choice from moment to moment and day to day to do whatever we can to guard the well-being of everyone. This new coronavirus has reminded us of how deeply we are connected to one another. Normally, we relish and delight in opportunities to gather together, to be connected, to touch one another, to offer a handshake or a hug. That's a part of our church life, and we give thanks for that human community. But now, at this moment, our belonging together as a human community demands that we stay separate from one another, physically separate. But we're reminded that our connection is much deeper than our physical location to one another, that we're bound together in a community that transcends, that connects us, that has potential both for unimaginable danger and destruction, but also potential for hope and possibility. And if the Wendell Berry's vision of morning light filling a barn where the Christ child is born does anything for us today, may it give us a sense that it's into these places, these spaces of a desperation, of uncertainty, of change that God shows up. And this is how God keeps showing up to disturb the status quo, to mess with our ways of doing things, to interrupt the plan, to do a new thing. But the new thing that God keeps doing is about hope and life and light. The gospel lesson that Pastor Darren read for us this morning is a story of healing. Now, I should say that the lectionary invited us to consider reading the whole of chapter 9 in John's gospel, which I commend to you this week if you've got time, if you're looking to fill your days with some devotional study that might invite rich contemplation. The whole chapter is so good. It's a remarkable story of healing when Jesus encounters a blind man. The story is about a lot more than the blind man whose sight is restored. It becomes a story of Jesus encountering religious authorities who were more worried about how what was happening fit into their system than they were ready to believe and perceive and participate in a new thing that God was doing. The scene opens in a strange way. It's a story of healing, but the man who was blind doesn't come to Jesus seeking healing. Instead, his disciples come to Jesus asking questions about why it was that this man was born blind. And the questions they ask reveal a way of perceiving difference and disability in a way that we no longer hold. The disciples ask, who was it that sinned that caused this man's blindness? And Jesus' reaction and participation in the life of this man reveal that it wasn't about naming sin as a cause of a person's blindness, but that this man's being was an invitation to be a place through which God's grace would be shown. The passage starts with these words. The disciples ask, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. Now, here's where our choices in translation get tricky. In the translation that we read, in the New Revised Standard Version, the punctuation choices put this next line all together in one sentence. It says, he was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. But Greek, ancient Greek, the text that this scripture was written in didn't include punctuation. And so we might make a different choice. We might read it, neither this man nor his parents sinned, he was born blind, period. And then we might continue, so that God's works might be revealed in him, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. It's possible that Jesus is inviting us to see that this man wasn't born blind for the purpose of God's works being revealed, This is a dangerous theology we sometimes take up that says that tragedies happen in order for God to do a thing, that God wants suffering in order for something else to become possible. But I don't believe that to be the case. And I don't believe that blindness is in any way an indication of a defect that prevents someone from being fully human, a participant in the fullness of society. So we might change the punctuation, and maybe Lady Gaga comes streaming through the room, singing Born This Way, as we delight in how it is that God allows us, however we're born, however differently different we might be from one another, in all our diversity, to believe that we ourselves are declarations of God's possibility. And it's possible that as we are buoyed by the joy of that moment, of that revelation, that we also hear a calling to take up our participation in what God is doing, that we hear the invitation of the gospel, so that God's works might be revealed in him, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. It's possible that we hear here an invitation to be the people who take up this good news and let it change us, who use moments of God's interruption of the way things were going as openings to change our capacity to believe in the depth of God's love for us, and to change and increase our capacity to live in love with the world and all its people and all creation. The season of Lent started on Ash Wednesday, and traditionally on that day we read texts from the Hebrew prophets that invite us to rend not your garments. Don't tear your clothes in repentance. Instead, rend your hearts. Break open your hearts, as if to enlarge their capacity. It's possible that this moment of destabilization and change, of transformation, of displacement, might be an opening that allows us to increase our capacity to believe not only that we are an inhabitation of the divine, but that so is everyone else. That this moment of global pandemic crisis will be an opportunity to finally see clearly that the lines we drew that separated us from each other, whether it be red and blue lines in our U.S.-American political landscape, or boundaries of language or ethnicity, of sexual orientation or gender identity, lines of economic well-being, the poor and the rich, all those collapse when we see our connection together. And in a moment of danger, may we find this an opportunity to again claim a God whose love transcends, whose grace is not limited by our ability to name or fully perceive what's happening. In the next verses that Pastor Darren read of this gospel text from John, after this man receives sight, the people around him try to make sense of what happened. They ask him to define what happened in categories of their religious tradition and understanding. And he keeps saying, "I don't know, man. All I know is I was healed." I pray that we, with the same earnestness, might be attentive to signs of God's miracle-working grace in our world, that we wouldn't be constrained by our ability to name or describe, put a theological category or label on its work in our midst, but that we might dare to believe that this place is holy, that we are holy, that our community is holy, that we might have the strength and patience we need to persist in maintaining safe distance from one another in a physical sense, in order to guard the well-being of everyone, to prevent a catastrophe that seems heartrending and unimaginable, of a global health catastrophe so much that decisions have to be made about whether people will survive based on huge sweeping categories because of a lack of capacity in our system to handle this emergency. In the midst of this moment, may we know the gift of God's grace in ourselves and others. May it give us what we need to continue to persist, to open ourselves to how God is moving in this time and place, to feel the comfort of a God who walks alongside us, the gift of a God who shows up, and the radical, transforming work of a God who changes everything for us. May you be surrounded by peace and strength and hope and courage in these times and always. Amen.
To God, who is gracious and merciful, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need, following each petition of "Hear us, O God," by saying together, "Your mercy is great." God of the wilderness, we pray for the church. Lead us in showing grace and hospitality to all who struggle with doubt or shame. Sanctify your church that by our witness, all people can be seen and loved for who you have created them to be. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We pray for creation. Show your glory in deserts and on mountaintops. Nourish gardens and orchards and bless those who tend them. Forgive us for our desire to dominate creation instead of serving as faithful stewards and caretakers. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We pray for the nations. Liberate leaders and governments from the temptation to exercise unjust rule over those whom they are called to lead and serve. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We pray for those in need. Sustain those who are hungry and alone, those who are anxious, those facing difficult decisions, and those facing recent diagnosis or new grief. We pray especially for healthcare workers and all who are at risk or are currently fighting the novel coronavirus. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We thank you for putting new songs on our lips and in our hearts. Hear our voices as we join in songs of lament and praise. We give thanks for musicians, composers, and poets who instill beauty in trying times. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We praise you for bringing us through the desert into the promised land of your kingdom. We give thanks for saints who have shown us through times of trial and joy. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. According to your steadfast love, O God, hear these and all our prayers as we commend them to you through Christ our Lord, who teaches us to live and who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Here at Westwood Church for worship today. We hope that you have felt the presence of God wherever you are as we join together in this way. I want to encourage you to stay connected as much as possible. Do that in all the ways you normally do that, checking in on each other, looking after one another. If you're not already on our email list, I hope you might join it. You can find it on our website, westwoodumc.org. Down at the bottom, there's a form to submit your address. There's also information there updating about what groups are meeting in virtual ways during this time and ways that you might be connected, both to share and assisting others or getting assistance that you might need. If you're not already liking our Facebook page, you can find information and connection there. And just today, we started a Facebook group that you might join as one additional way to be in touch with each other across this community. As always, we invite you to consider making offerings, tithes, and gifts to the church to support our ministries. It's the commitment of our church council to continue to pay our staff during this time, even as the office is closed. And if you're able, your contributions assist us in making that possible. We're always grateful to get to be the body of Christ together and are glad that you joined us today. So I invite you to receive this benediction. May you stay where you are, surrounded by the gift of God's unfailing love, opened to where that love might lead us further than we can yet imagine. Be in peace. Amen.